This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. We came the wrong thing to do.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
My cue. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. I'm a little bit frazzled. I've been up since 1:55 this morning. It is 6:01.
Why?
Woke up. Couldn't go back to sleep. Don't know.
Maybe you went to bed too early.
That's a possibility.
Game was long over.
I did.
Ended like at noon, so you had plenty of time, and like you went to bed too early, didn't you?
I think I did. Good morning, everybody. Good to be here with you. My Paulie, did you print a rundown?
I did not.
I feel nude.
You weren't here, but we are out of toner. See, I can fix paper easily. I just put new stack of paper in there. I don't know where the toner is.
My computer took like 30 minutes to it was just one of those days. It's fine. We got to just keep it from spiraling out of control. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Not the copy machine fixer.
I did fix your computer.
You did fix my computer. Yeah, you restarted it. And Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning, everybody.
Everyone's just trying to keep it together. It's a little bit affected by the terrible game yesterday, the absolute torturous game that was. But it's just been a week, man. I got a sick baby at home and car trouble. Ben's been driving me to work every day. And it's just been one of those not so great weeks.
I was always carpool guy in high school as well.
What do you mean? Like you drove a lot of people?
Well, we had a long drive. Like when I went to Torrey Pines High School, we lived all the way by Encinitas. So
yeah.
It was like a 20-25 minute drive.
Out in the country, as you said.
And when I turned 16, I was lucky enough to have a car. But many kids in my general vicinity who went to the same school did not. And they needed a ride. And their parents had become weary of transporting them that, 20-25 minute drive and back round trip every single morning to take them to school. And once they realized a neighborhood child was able to drive them, those arrangements were made. Now, these were not my friends or anyone I actually really even knew. I many days would like pick up like I was a bus, just picking up kids I didn't even know. They'd just be waiting on the side of the road with their backpack and their lunch.
You're effing kidding.
And I would pick them up. They get into the back of my Ford Explorer. And
you are effing kidding.
No,
right
I
now.
I was carpool Ben for about 2 years at high school.
Every day that I'm with this man, I learn something that I go, my brain explodes. What? What do you mean they weren't your friends? How did they get in?
I didn't even know a couple of the kids' names, I don't think.
How was this facilitated?
Through parents. Like, you know, they'd contact my parents.
Hey,
and they'd
Kim,
say, hey, you know,
it's Mike from down the street.
Yeah.
Freddie needs a ride to school. Ben, scoop him up tomorrow? And your mom's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And then your mom would come to you, what, with like an itinerary?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, here's the stops, here's where they'll be out here at this time, and
Jesus,
you pick them
Ben.
All up, and it became just an arrangement for the second half of high school.
Like, all dudes, girls and dudes?
There's what a mixture.
How many? What's your max?
I think the max was like five. Like, we had a full car.
And you just what? Drove to
school? Yeah. I didn't have to take them home. They had rides or after-school activities or sports or whatever,
right.
So I didn't have to wait around to collect them all to go home, but every morning I would just say,
thanks, Ben.
Yeah, or nothing, really. It was not a lot of chat. We weren't friends, so it was just kind of silent, sitting in the car and
listening to sports talk radio. Oh, my God. Who was on back then when you were driving to school, 1993?
Probably.
When you listen to Mighty 1090?
Mason and Ireland. Something like that.
Were they local?
They were. They've been up in LA for a long time, but back then they were doing the full Southern California, the Mighty 690.
Okay, Mighty 690. Deal. You're driving in.
I think for a while then it was the old Chet 40, the loose cannons
while
we're in the morning.
Sure.
So we'd listen to those.
So you're driving in. You got a couple girls and three dudes in your Explorer.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're listening to, who was the head coach in 93 of Chargers talk? Because that's what it was.
Yeah, probably a lot of Chargers talk.
Was it Marty?
No, this was before Marty. This would have been like, this would have been Bobby Ross when they were good. You know, a lot of Chargers talk when they went to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. When did they go to the Super Bowl?
That was 94. Yeah.
Okay, so.
Bobby Ross.
The year after we graduated high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were kind of in the build-up. 92, I think they made the playoffs as well. They were kind of starting to get good.
Dan Henning,
yes.
I am fascinated by him. I'm fascinated. Yeah, James
in
the chat.
But it wasn't any of my siblings because my brother was 4 years younger than me, so we never went to high school
at the same time.
So it was not my own siblings that I took to school.
Yeah, somebody said ass, gas, or cash. Nobody rides for free. But sounds like everybody.
Apparently they do in my
car. Did you get any gas?
I think my parents always took care of me knowing that,
but
hey,
did you get any ass?
No.
Ass, gas, or cash. Nobody rides for free. Apparently, the rules don't apply in Encinitas, California, 1993. Everybody rode for free. I did carpool, but I got my driver's license late. By that time, all my friends had their license and we had our own cars. But I had a buddy that, Chad, lived down the street and he had a maroon minivan. And he would pick up, there were like six of us, and we would ride to school together. But we were friends. We like all played ball together. We lived in the same neighborhood, so we grew up playing ball and street hockey and basketball and football. I can't imagine my mom saying to me, all right, you got to pick up six kids on your drive-in. You're like, all right. The most affable, easygoing human being on the planet is my radio partner. And I'm grateful for you, and I'm happy to know you because these stories, if I put it in a movie, people wouldn't believe it. They would not believe it, the stories of your life. Do you ever ride a bike? No, never rode a bike. What? When did you grow up? You must have grown up in the 30s when they didn't have bikes. No, grew up 80s, 90s. Never rode a bike in Southern California. Did you listen to Van Halen? No. No.
Who?
No, who? My man is just the most... You are... What was the Dos Equis? You're that Dos Equis guy. The most interesting man in the world.
That's right.
That is just incredible to me. Incredible. You're amazing.
Jocelyn in the chat says, guys, did you hear that dude call into the Ello and Gwynn show saying, hey, Higgins and Woods? I did. I was driving to
you
work
did?
Yesterday.
Somebody DM'd me. I was
and
like,
and they called,
hear.
And he goes, oh, yeah, Woods, Higgins, love, you know, love the show. And
what?
Chris is like, yeah, no, that's not us. That's our morning, guys. We'll say hi for you, but no, we're the, it was Scraby and Gwynn at the time, or Chris at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just, I guess he assumed that we're just on all day.
Man.
6 a.m. until the Padres game in the evening. It's
6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Just Ben and Woods all day long.
Feels like that today. We've got our round table presented by Round Table Pizza. That's coming up right after the program today. And it just, you know, those days, it always happens to me, too. If, like we were getting out early yesterday, got a great night's sleep. Like, felt great. I'm like, we got a short show and... Today, with a long day, I get up at 1:55 this morning and make some toast and some coffee, you know, read a couple things, go back to bed, listen to a 45-minute Jim Morrison documentary that just came out, audio thing, and I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, I couldn't sleep, and then you're just staring down the barrel of a long, long day of a radio. But we certainly have no shortage of things to talk about, especially as it pertains to our local baseball team. Yesterday was one of those crap games that it was the first time in a while I'd kind of felt, you know, like, oh, no, this was... This felt very Padres. Felt very, very Padres. I hate that. I hate that feeling.
I hated everything about yesterday. Not everything. I loved one player's performance.
One player above all. I mean, a king amongst men, if you will. And we will talk about the brilliant.
But everything else.
Brilliant performance terrible. Of Michael King yesterday. It was outstanding, incredible. I had traded him from my fantasy team earlier in the day. So that was very cool to watch him go out and dominate the minute I trade him in his first start for his new team.
Felt bad. I even recommended that you pull that,
you did.
That trade.
You did.
Now, hopefully, you know, in the long run, if Michael King, like, found something locked in and is going to pitch that way more often than not the rest of the season, I could care less that they lost that
Correct.
Game. I'd rather they lose that game and Michael King figures it out.
Yes.
Somehow they win the game, even though Michael King gave up 5 runs
right.
and walked 4 batters.
Right.
If he figured something out and carries that forward, that will end up being one of the more valuable games of the season for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, we're good. If that nobody would expect that pace and that dominance for the rest of the year. But if it was anywhere close to that, we got us a good one on our hands here in San Diego. So, yes, I just saw Diesel put in the chat, Xander. Xander will be a big topic of discussion today, I imagine, on the round table as well.
Adam, I was already insisted on it. In fact, he got a text last night.
Maybe Adam would like to do the round table.
He said, you probably have already thought of this, but you should probably
discuss, like, the Klug Power Hour.
You should probably discuss Xander.
He can get all his Padres opinions.
He can come
on the round table. And it's like, yes, Adam, we will discuss the struggles of Xander Bogaerts on the round table today. Probably on the Ben and Woods program as well.
Yeah.
Send you the box score. Make sure you guys saw this.
Yeah, got this. The reiterator, man. The reiterator's a real thing. He is loves to reiterate. Making sure you guys saw this email.
We did.
We're all on it.
We'll talk about all of it. I had a lot of conversations yesterday, both at home and at work, about no-hit jinxes as well. And I am, I don't believe in them.
Yeah.
And...
I try to be better safe than sorry.
But someone always, the timing always works out that someone feels like they jinxed it. And yesterday, that honor belonged to one Shelly Higgins. As we were watching the game after our show yesterday, and she was on the couch, and I don't think she was really paying attention. And I wasn't saying anything, I was just watching the game, but we were together. And, you know, Padres.tv, when it gets late in the game, they put up in the score box, it now says, no hit through 6.1 innings, 6.2. And she hadn't been watching, and she looks up, and it says no hit through, 6.2 innings. She goes, oh, cool, a no-hitter. Boom. 5 seconds later, blooper into right field, and it's over. And she goes, did I do that? And I go, I can't say that you didn't do that. I mean, I know my logical brain.
You don't believe in them,
My
though.
Logical brain knows that it's Major League Baseball. There are thousands of people watching the game. Clearly, in every single no-hitter in history, someone has mentioned it while they were watching it.
The guy that I traded Michael King to is one of my dearest friends, Maddie Cordero. And I traded him for Michael Conforto. Yes, I need some pop in my outfield. Now, I got plenty of pitching, right? So I go Conforto for King. I asked Ben. Ben rubber stamped it. I was AJ Preller. You were Josh Stein. You said, I push it through, right? So he's throwing a no-no. 11:42 a.m. Michael King throwing a no-no. I texted to him. He goes, wow, dude, you're a scumbag. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm blasting you on Twitter. And he did. And I said, I was just letting you know. I was letting you know how your newest acquisition is performing. And he goes, I should have a no-no right now. I said, they're not going to let him. They weren't going to let him finish anyway. They weren't. Maybe they would have. He said, you should take hand up accountability for the pod's loss today.
I disagree. I think Mike Schilt would have let him go.
So?
As long as he needed to go, he still had the no-hitter.
He might have. I have some questions about that as
about
well.
109 pitches?
I have some questions about letting that guy go 109 as well. And we'll talk to Mike Schilt tomorrow. And we're going to spitball our ideas and answers today. But tomorrow when we get the skipper on, I mean, yeah, of course we have to ask him about shifting the lineup. Now, what was my line yesterday? If it's not broke, don't fix it. Is it broken losing 1-0?
No.
I don't think so either. That being said, is that the guy at the top of the order that you want to have more ABs than other guys? Like, I don't know, Fernando Tatis Jr. So how much will it really, is it just an easy thing to scream into the ether, or does it actually make sense to move him down?
Well, to my point yesterday, which was you don't have to wait until it's broken. Had they made the shift yesterday, someone else might have been up in that situation.
Well, I mean,
and they might have won the game. That's why you don't wait until something is broken to fix it. Well, now, something's not necessarily broken because you lose one game, but you can't be a Major League Baseball team simply waiting for the sky to fall before you make changes. The idea of being a smart manager and general manager is anticipating things before they become problems and addressing them.
You cannot come in here this morning and be like, I told you they should have moved Xander out of the leadoff. You can't.
But I did.
But you can't. Who else took overs yesterday? I hope we get on those cats, too.
We will talk about it.
Because that's absurd.
That's absolutely fair.
To put yesterday's game on Xander Bogaerts 20 games in is ridiculous.
That was a particularly bad at-bat, and you know it.
Half your lineup went over.
That was a dog-ass AB. I tweeted it.
You tweeted it.
Who else had bad ABs? Kyle Higashioka got a terrible AB. Then again, he's not making 280. I have always said, your star's got to do star stuff. And if you're paying a guy to be a star, which you are, he needs to be a star. And he sure as hell needs to not take 2-0 C shots down the middle. 2-0. It drove me crazy.
That's what you're looking for. I mean,
it's the dream.
We'll get into it. But even I was like,
oh, what are you waiting on?
What are you doing there? That's served you on a
ready.
Silver
no one ready to hit. You're
flatter.
You're not ready to hit in that, and that's a problem.
I wouldn't be surprised if someone said something from the coaching staff 100%. In the dugout. Like, that was your pitch.
Bro,
that's
what
we're looking for here. Dude, we're trying to attack pitches like that, and they gave you one, and you just let it go. We will discuss all of it. We'll set the menu coming up for a Thursday, a throwback Thursday show. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock is what's mentioned.
Yes.
All the way through the roundtable today. Do not go anywhere. Ben and Woods is underway on a throwback Thursday on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on the Ben and Woods program this morning, got our Padres wrap up at the bottom of the hour, and obviously it's going to include a animated discussion about the lineup and Xander Bogaerts' place in and after the 1-0 loss to the Brewers yesterday. Did say the reason why you need to sweep a series every once in a while is that you make really slow progress. Progress is good. Even slow progress is good. But now 11-10. Just feels like they should be better than that. They're hot. They won three series in a row. You're a 500 team, essentially.
Yeah, and you do, though, if you go back, if you just look and say a 4-2 road trip is fantastic.
Of course it is.
It's fantastic. Against those two teams.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest with ourselves. That's a good-ass road trip, okay? You have to win that game yesterday when you get a pitching performance like that from Michael King. I felt so bad for him. It's happened to him. It's happened to every pitcher. How many times does an offense go out and score 8 runs and a bullpen can't hold a lead? It happens. It's a team game. And yesterday was he was so good. It's what you dream of. Everything's working. And you're not overpowering anybody. You're just locked in. And when you got a performance like that, I know it killed that offense to not win that game. I know those guys are probably beating the crap out of themselves knowing they should have won that game.
We'll get into the particulars of yesterday's performance coming up.
I would love to hear candidly from MLB players, particularly the offensive players. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, we all talk about, we joke about, like, oh, you owe a mistake dinner or something.
Sure.
Like, do they actually do anything? Or is it just, hey, it's a team game,
no.
You know, sorry.
Did Michael King do something for them when they scored 12 runs for him and he gave up 5 or 6?
Maybe. See, maybe.
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Maybe.
Did they
drop a G in his Venmo account?
They don't give Rolexes or anything, but I can promise you there's a lot of, hey, thanks for picking me up.
Thanks for the support. He got plenty of it. He's had more of it, maybe than any other Padres pitcher. Than any other pitcher in baseball so far this year.
Ask Adam Jones in an hour.
I will.
You ever like buy something or gift something for a pitcher when you as the offense just completely screwed him over?
Yeah, that's coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the IL move. Yu Darvish going to the 15-day injured list.
Bummer.
That kind of came out of out of the blue yesterday before the game, so they're going to have to do some figuring out of what to do with the spot in the starting rotation as soon as Saturday here. We'll talk about that coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll play a little Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday.
Real or Flake has something. There's something there. There's something there.
Some cereal themed Real or Fake game.
Or dandruff. I don't know. It's something guy that's unsure, flakes a lot.
A chance to qualify. Those commercials were on so often when we were kids.
Dandruff?
Flakes.
Yeah, does dandruff not exist anymore? Because I don't see a lot of
dandruff. Troy Polamalu still says it
does.
That's
true.
Head and shoulders.
But you don't see nearly as many commercials about dandruff flakes.
Did you ever have dandruff?
No.
I
don't think so.
I don't think I did either.
Then again, I used a lot of Head and Shoulders when I was a kid.
I can taste it in my mouth.
Very,
I can smell
that
it.
Very blue.
I can smell it.
Gooey.
Seltzer blue.
Did you or any other kid in your school ever have head lice?
Never had lice.
Oh, no.
Never had lice. And I saw there was a notice when I went to pick up Taylor a couple weeks ago. There was someone has lice. And I'm like, I told Bo, I could stand outside.
There was once a year you had to go to the nurse. Everybody lined
comb
up.
Comb you.
Oh, the combing down. I remember that in elementary school.
Sit in a chair and finger
and someone,
your head.
If they found it, they'd shave their head.
And they're get him out! Get him out! Get him out!
Just
the walk
like
of shame.
Warper,
yes, the kid's walking out Mom and dad have to come pick you up.
Kid shows up the next day, the second grade, shaved with a head. Shaved head. You're like, ah!
Everyone's laughing at you.
We know it was you.
So rough, man. So rough. And then they made you climb a rope. I mean, it was just like the worst. No wonder we're all messed up as adults. The trauma we endured in our youth.
So horrible.
It's terrible.
So horrible.
Terrible, dude.
We'll play Don't. We'll play Real or Fake, and then Don't Do This comes up at 7:20. Adam Jones. After his delayed flight yesterday, we'll push him back here to a Thursday at 7:35. Talk to AJ, the five-time All-Star. Second half of the show, it's Thursday, which means Smart Baseball Thursday. Eno Saris going to be with us at 8:35. We got the Rindle Report after Paulie didn't have time for one yesterday with our short show. We got plenty of time today. We got 5 hours today. We'll play a little Throwback Thursday audio for you in the 9 o'clock hour as well. And then we'll stick around for our roundtable. We'll not be in the studio here today. We're going to move over to our sound space. So it'll look a little bit different on YouTube. If you're listening on the radio, hopefully it sounds just the same.
Yeah.
We'll see if there's any technical difficulties. I know there will be some challenges for our engineering staff today.
It's going to be so much better. It's jamming everyone in here like a sardine can last week. It got stuffy and a little toasty, and poor Annie's in here with a bunch of sweaty dudes. I'm right next to her. I know I just had BO. Like, it'll be good. We can stretch out a little bit. And
whether it works out or not in the soundstage today, I'm going to take full credit for it.
Yeah, you should.
I was very pissy last week.
It was tough. Adam was under my legs.
The whole hour, like the 9 to 10 o'clock hour, he was just in here.
In, out.
Fumbling with cameras.
Yeah.
He was crawling around, plugging things in.
He was between my legs when I was doing a Sedano Ford spot or something. It was very weird.
But no good idea goes unpunished. I know that Paulie now, his task will be cueing me to start the show because I won't be able to hear music from the studio. So Adam says, you'll be on the phone giving me the old point cue when it's time to go.
Well, I'll be at home.
Right, for the start of the show.
There's no.
You know, he says you're sticking around.
I'll be on the freeway
at least for 10 a.m. to give me a point cue to start the show.
It's gonna be fun.
You can discuss that with Adam.
It was your idea, Paul.
News to me.
It was your idea.
Hey, happy birthday to Michael in the chat, buddy. Happy birthday. Don't know how old you are, but thanks for being here this morning.
We will come back with our Padres wrap up. Get to the limited highlights of yesterday's game. 1-0. Against the Milwaukee Brewers, and talk about what went wrong in that one. Next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You know, the one thing about yesterday's game that I really couldn't get my noodle around entirely is I was so excited.
Wiener?
No, my brain. Yeah. I was so excited that the Brewers were skipping Freddie Peralta.
100%.
Getting a bullpen game. Now I'm wondering, Freddie Peralta would pitch. Maybe the Padres score 3 runs
and
end up winning that game.
Yeah, maybe like amp up your ABs a little
more locked in. Peralta's just not having a great day, and you know they're counting on him for 6 or 7 innings. Whereas, you know, the combination of the bullpen guys that they used, Bryce Wilson, and then
he's good, man.
The next guy who came in, and
the guy
who came in after that,
yeah, then that other dude.
They were the one guy, and then him. I mean, you know, you can't always just tip your cap.
You can't.
But
we tip our cap. Hey, last year we said a lot. Hey, sometimes you just get beat. If it's Corbin Burns that just crushes you, you're like, well, it's Corbin Burns. If it's Tyler Glasnow, you're like, hey, man, it's Tyler friggin' Glasnow, right? But when you win those first two, Benny, and they're gonna basically, these guys are big leaguers too. They've got good stuff, and you still got to put bat on ball.
True.
Sure, and they did that. They didn't K. It's not like he was K-ing a bunch of guys up.
You know how many times the Padres struck out yesterday?
Three times. That's unheard of.
They're putting the ball in play.
So,
you know, and all those games that the Padres have had where they've been putting the ball in poles and it's blooping into left field, and they've had some good BABIP luck. They didn't have any luck yesterday. The only team that had any BABIP luck, and it came on all three of their hits, was the Milwaukee Brewers. None of those particularly well struck. The best was the ground ball single off Wandy Peralta, but that's what he gets, is ground balls.
It's great ground ball guy.
A 7-hopper right between third and short that scored the only run of the game. The only two hits that Michael King gave up, total, absolute, just BABIP luck shots. He had otherwise no-hit stuff and pitched great. We will go through the highlights and discuss yesterday's loss coming up in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose. a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
My king is dialed in right now.
Next pitch. Strike three call. Got him. Strikeout number 8 for Michael King. The Brewers have had 2 base runners on so far tonight. Both of them by the walk. 1-1 pitch. Hot shot. Diving play by Matthew Batten. He's going to feed Michael King for the out. Oh, what a play by Matthew Batten.
On a special, on a possibly special day, you always have to have a play like this.
Again, the 1-2 offering. Little looper heading towards right field, and it's going to fall in for a base hit. The no-hit bid has been broken up. With 2 outs here in the 7th inning. A little looper that fell into right field. No chance for Fernando to get there. And as soon as it left the bat, you just felt your stomach drop, knowing that something special had just been spoiled. Bryce Turang at second base is his responsibility. Ground ball through the left side for a base hit. Turang is going to score. Here comes the throw. It is not in time. Hit for a slide. The Brewers have a 1-0 lead on the single by Blake Perkins. Miami's come set. The 3-2 pitch. Swung on. Line drive towards center field. Could be playable, though. Reaching over is Perkins, and he'll make the catch for the final out. The Brewers hang on for the 1-0 victory to salvage the final game of this 3-game set. An absolute gem by Michael King, unfortunately, goes to waste.
You know, we get the leadoff triple from Matty Batten. And, you know, just couldn't do it. You know, they got a good arm in the mound with their guy. And what a play. What a play he made on Toddy's ball. You know, you got a big situation late in the game, tie ball game. You know, you got a plus runner in Toddy, and he made a big-time play to end the inning. So, good baseball game all the way around.
Mike Schilt talking about the critical sequence.
Whoa.
Very close.
You were talking over me, so that's why I stumbled.
Holy Schilt.
Mike Schilt talking about the critical sequence there in the top of the 8th inning. What?
Nothing.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just don't get us in trouble.
Yeah.
When the Padres had the runner at third, nobody out.
Yeah.
And they could not get the run in with 3 chances.
Lazy fly ball, man.
First one was a Kyle Higashioka.
Fisted. Blooper to the infield.
No offense to Kyle, but your 9 hitting backup catcher is not the ideal person to be coming up in that situation.
No pinch hit there.
I was surprised by that.
Okay, so who's on the bench in that situation to pinch hit for Kyle Higashioka? You've got Luis Camposano.
You sent Brett Sullivan down the day before, so you didn't have an emergency catcher. So once you go to your backup, if someone gets hurt or anything and you're going extra innings.
It's 8th inning. I'm going to take my chance. Because you need, in that situation, after a leadoff triple. By the way, let's be honest. Nobody was expecting that. So you've been given the gift of Matt Batten slicing one down the line, legging one out for a triple. And all you need is a lazy fly ball. I like Kyle Higashioka a lot. And I thought he did. Obviously, he deserves a lot of credit for Michael King yesterday.
Sure.
He did a fantastic job behind the dish. I wouldn't be surprised to see them work together more. They work together in New York. They're working together here. Fine. It's what a bench is for, though. That right there is what your bench is for.
I didn't hear Mike Schilt asked about that after the game. Like, sometimes guys are down for the day and you're not changing anyone's mind about it. LA, I don't know if that was the case or not.
It's the same thing that happened in L.A. Game left to Tyler Wade when you still had Campy and Xander on the bench. So I want to ask him tomorrow, like, I'm inferring that you, when you say a day off, you mean a day off. And is that like an organizational philosophy that you brought over? Because I'm trying to win that ball game.
There's also the argument that it's not easy to pinch hit and come off the bench. Higashioka's already into the game. He's been up before. Are you better off pinch hitting in that situation? Campy hasn't exactly been hot. He had a couple of hits the other day, but had been in a 3-for-27 slump before that.
Sure, but who's...
And Higashioka, didn't he have...
He had
a hit in his previous at-bat. Looked good. Hit a nice line drive double.
You know, and it's the psychology of baseball, too, that maybe we don't fully get. I wanted to give Higgy a shot there early in the season. I want to give him a shot. Would he pinch hit for him the next time? My answer is probably yeah. I'm down to give guys a shot to come through there. You know, I am. Like, he's a part of the team. He's done a great job. He did get a knock. Fine.
And one of the knocks last year was Bob Melvin never could get a lot of his other guys involved, and it didn't feel like a team.
He and Bob would say all the time, like, no, I mean, I wanted to get so-and-so a day, but we just can't the way we're playing right now, and he never could, and then you can't get anybody going. Okay, that's fine. You know, in that situation, though, Benny, who do you trust to hit one to the outfield more? Kyle Higashioka or Luis Camposano? Probably Campy.
Or you go with a lefty.
Who would have been available there? That would have been... Did Wade start?
Wade did start.
He did start. You don't... Do you have a lefty off the bench?
No, you got Eggie. And you've got Campy.
Campy.
And who else am I missing? Sugar?
Cronenworth's out.
Crony's out.
If Crony was available to swing, maybe you go there, but maybe he's not.
Yeah,
they wanted to give him that day off. That definitely limits your bench when you've got a guy who's hurt but not on the IL and not replaced.
No, Satan Blowfish says, did Bomel really have issues pinch hitting? No. What he had issues with was not running out the same guys every day. Like, remember, because he would tell us all the time, I wanted to give Tatis a day off. I wanted to get Manny off his feet. I can't. We're not playing good. So those guys need to be in the lineup, and the game got away from us and blah, blah, blah.
I remember in like late April last year, he's like, yeah, we'd love to give Soto a day off.
Yes, they were grinding through.
How many did Soto play last year?
162.
162.
Yeah. Now,
and remember, the game is tied. You're not sure that it's going to be over. You may end up going and playing extra innings and need more of a bench that's already a little short. I think there's a lot of ways to look at the Higashioka at-bat, but he pops up into the infield, doesn't get the runner home. Next at-bat is Xander Bogaerts. And this is the one that I think fans focused in on the most for good reason. Xander jumps ahead in the count 2-0
the dream,
in
baby.
A hitter's count. And with the Padres' philosophy early in the season, being aggressive, looking for your pitch, you've got to be looking for a fastball somewhere, you know, around the middle of the plate on that pitch. And he got exactly that.
And if he throws you a slider that you miss, okay. 2-0, trying to get that ball to the outfield, or at least, you know, a ground ball to the right, to anything. I mean, I think they were in, but, like, even better, just put the contact play in. Like, make sure you get barrel on ball there. The last thing you can do in that situation with one out is K.
So he doesn't swing at that pitch. Now, in what was kind of a forgotten moment, he then hit a little chopper to third that would have scored the run.
Yep.
But went foul by a foot or two.
Yep.
And then he struck out on the 2-2 pitch. That was a good pitch.
Great
slide
pitch.
Around in the inside corner. It was a tough pitch to hit. Would have given any right-handed hitter trouble. But he had opportunities before that pitch to do some damage and get that runner in from third base. Mm. And then Tatis, as Mike Schilt mentioned, he hits a little chopper to third, and I thought for sure, he's going to beat this out. And
me too.
It was a really nice play that was made barehanded
by Terang. Great play.
To get Tatis out of first base and get them out of that. And the Padres don't score. Obviously, the Brewers do in the bottom of the eighth inning, and that was the game right there yesterday. But what about the bullpen usage for Mike Schilt? Any problem, as long as we're going through the decision-making? Did he take Michael King out at the appropriate time? Should he have gone to his bullpen earlier? Should he have stuck with Michael King for one more batter? He was already at, 109 pitches after he struck out Jackson Churio for the second out there in the bottom of the eighth inning.
The only thing I thought of was, and I saw the point made on Twitter as well, is that's a guy that you're really needing a big innings jump. He needs to jump up in innings this year. Like, he wants to go from 90 to, like the Seth Lugo last year, he wants to go to 180 innings, right? I don't know if that's possible, but that's his goal, and great. So.
Well, we kind of need that too, by the way.
Innings?
Yeah. We need length out of our four.
We do, and I thought to
myself. You had a day off the next day, though. You didn't necessarily need it yesterday.
Correct. You could have gone more high leverage. The second guessing of the bullpen when you lose 1-0, I mean, give me a break. Like, I'm not.
It's hard to argue with the Wandy Peralta usage.
Correct. Game. You need a ground ball. You got a ground ball.
You needed an out. And opposing right-handers were 0-for-22 against Wandy Peralta this season.
I just was like, man, we're going to run this guy out there for 109 pitches. I was surprised. And I think.
Now, he barely pitched out of the stretch.
Barely.
Was in a good rhythm the whole
100%.
Time. You know, sometimes 109 pitches only feels like 70 or 80 when you're really just cooking and cruising. Now, I did have a no-hitter. That probably adds a little stress to some of those pitches as well, but you can make the argument. And I am curious whether, if he had still had the no-hitter, how long would Mike Shildt have let him go?
Here's a little bit of Mike Shildt post-game yesterday.
Gosh, man, he was throwing the ball good, you know, and but he's starting to get to that point. And, you know, got the strikeout in Churio, and, you know, clearly a decision we made. Wandy hadn't given up base hit to a right-handed hitter all year. And didn't work out.
Got to that point.
Yeah. It was a tough one to stomach. It was. And they've been playing so well. You know, I'm hesitant to be so hard on them. But again, you feel like an opportunity slipped through your fingers. And you weren't asking for a massive comeback. You weren't asking for, you know, something spectacular, right? You're talking about a guy that's your leadoff hitter that makes a lot of dough. And he's staring at 2-0 down the middle when you need a lazy fly ball. I know it's easier said than done, but that's
why. You feel like if you score in the seventh, top of the seventh, then they score, we win 1-0.
I think we win 1-0. And I think maybe then, Ben, if you do get that run across and get the lead, I think then you're maybe a little bit, you see Shildt be a little more aggressive with the day off today and give somebody a clean inning and go after it then. And but yeah, it just wasn't to be yesterday, and it sucks, man. It really, really sucks. You feel like, we're hearkening back to, and I hate to keep bringing up last year, and I don't want to do it anymore. But, you know, when you can't get those runs, and they're so precious, and just, you're not asking the world of your guys to go out and score one run there with a leadoff triple.
Not as bad as last year, obviously. They've had many more good moments already. But still, just 3-3 in those one-run games. There's been certain games, a couple in San Francisco that you lost 3-2 that you felt like absolutely were there for the taking. A couple instances where you didn't come through. And you're not going to always come through with runners in scoring position. It's not going to happen every single day. Every baseball team has days like this one yesterday. Just stings a little bit more when you're playing well and you had a chance to
sweep.
You know, and win four games in a row, which was something that was a bugaboo last year. And hopefully doesn't ever get to that point this year. I heard Chris say in the afternoon, I predict they will get a four-game winning streak next week when they go take on the Colorado Rockies. Now, Coors Field is a house of horrors. The Rockies are very bad.
He's a little more brave than I am, man. Holy cow.
Now, you know, Chris has been a longtime Rockies fan, so when he says they're bad, I trust him that he knows that they are really, really bad.
It does not matter, though, in that.
Feel like one game is going to be kind of crazy and weird.
If you go into that series as a Padres fan any bit confident, I have to have you looked at psychologically. They're the games I'm most nervous about so far, and that includes the games in LA. I'll be watching those Rockies games more intently because you need a sweep. Like, you have to sweep that team, but that place is such a hellhole, and it has been for our team in particular over the last many, many years.
One thing that the Padres are doing worse this year than last year, and it goes along with something they're doing better. They are striking out way less, which means they are hitting into double plays way more.
Yep.
And they actually hit into 10 double plays on the 6-game road trip. And again, it was a good road trip.
Yeah.
4-2. You win two series against two playoff contending first place teams. It's a really good road trip. That is a lot of double plays to hit into. A couple more yesterday. They had 4 in that game. They beat the Dodgers on Sunday in one game alone. 10 double plays, because you can't hit into more than one double play an inning, is a significant amount in a 6-game stretch. And the Padres have been doing that more this season. And that happens when you have runners on base and you make more contact. You are also going to hit into more double plays. And we have seen that quite a bit. Now, is it something to be alarmed about? Is it something to make adjustments on? I don't really know. You know, do you want to swing harder and strike out more so you don't hit into double plays? Not necessarily. You know, good things happen when you make contact, but sometimes bad things happen when you make contact. And yesterday, the Padres just didn't have a lot of good things happen when they did make a lot of contact. Just usually ended up in the glove of Willie Adames or Bryce Terang.
Guy, those two guys were Willie Adames had like 17 chance. I was like, good Lord, that's the dream for a shortstop. What a day for
him. Yeah, it's hard to be so mad when you're making a lot of contact. The difference between a line drive single and a hard grounder to short, it's like a micro fraction of a millimeter or two of where that bat is. And you go, oh, this team's terrible. They should have swung 1 millimeter lower. You know, the one thing about yesterday's game that I really couldn't get my noodle around entirely is I was so excited.
Your wiener?
No, my brain. Okay. I was so excited that the Brewers were skipping Freddy Peralta.
Oh, 100%.
Getting a bullpen game. Now I'm wondering, if Freddy Peralta would pitch, maybe the Padres score 3 runs and end up winning that game.
Yeah, maybe like amp up your ABs a little more and get more locked in.
Peralta's just not having a great day, and you know they're counting on him for 6 or 7 innings, whereas you know the combination of the bullpen guys that they used, Bryce Wilson, and then...
He's good, man.
The next guy who came in, and...
The other guy
who came in after that.
Yeah, then that other dude.
Don't forget the one guy.
That, and then him.
And they were... I mean, you know, you can't always just tip your cap.
You can't.
But...
We tip our cap. Hey, last year we said a lot. Hey, sometimes you just get beat. If it's Corbin Burns that just just crushes you, you're like, well, it's Corbin Burns. If it's Tyler Glass now, you're like, hey, man, it's Tyler freaking Glass now. Right, but when you win those first two, Benny, and they're gonna basically, these guys are big leaguers too. They've got good stuff, and you still got to put bat on ball.
True.
Sure, and they did that. They didn't K. It's not like he was K-ing a bunch of guys up.
You know how many times the Padres struck out yesterday?
Three times. That's unheard of.
They're putting the ball in play. So and all those games that the Padres have had where they've been putting the ball in poles and it's blooping into left field, and they've had some good BABIP luck. They didn't have any luck yesterday. The only team that had any BABIP luck, and it came on all three of their hits, was the Milwaukee Brewers. None of those particularly well struck. The best was the ground ball single off Wandy Peralta, but that's what he gets, is ground balls.
It's great. Ground ball guy.
A 7-hopper right between third and short that scored the only run of the game. The only two hits that Michael King gave up, total, absolute, just BABIP luck shots. He had otherwise no-hit stuff and pitched great. We will go through the highlights and discuss yesterday's loss coming up in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Ooh.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
My king is dialed in right now.
Next pitch. Strike 3 call. Got him. Strikeout number 8 for Michael King. The Brewers have had 2 base runners on so far today. Both of them by the walk. 1-1 pitch. Hot shot. Diving play by Matthew Batten. He's going to feed Michael King for the out. Oh, what a play by Matthew Batten.
On a possibly special day, you always have to have a play like this.
Again, the 1-2 offering. Little looper heading towards right field, and it's going to fall in for a base hit. The no-hit bid has been broken up with 2 outs here in the 7th inning. A little looper that fell into right field. No chance for Fernando to get there. And as soon as it left the bat, you just felt your stomach drop, knowing that something special had just been spoiled. Bryce Terang at second base is his responsibility. Ground ball through the left side for a base hit. Terang is going to score. Here comes the throw. It is not in time. Hit for a slide. The Brewers have a 1-0 lead on the single by Blake Perkins. Iams comes set. The 3-2 pitch. Swung on, line drive towards center field. Could be playable, though, reaching over is Perkins, and he'll make the catch for the final out. The Brewers hang on for the 1-0 victory to salvage the final game of this 3-game set. An absolute gem by Michael King, unfortunately, goes to waste.
You know, we get the leadoff triple from Matty Batten, and, you know, just couldn't do it. You know, they got a good arm in the mound with their guy, and what a play he made on Toddy's ball. You know, you got to big situation like in the game, tie ball game, you know, you got a plus runner in Toddy, and he made a big time play to end the inning. So good baseball game all the way around.
Yeah, Mike Schilt talking about the critical sequence.
Whoa.
Very close.
Well, you were talking over me, so that's why I stumbled.
Holy Schilt.
Mike Schilt talking about the critical sequence there in the top of the eighth inning. What?
Nothing.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Just don't get us in trouble.
Yeah.
When the Padres had the runner at third, nobody out.
Yeah.
And they could not get the run in with three chances.
Lazy fly ball, man.
First one was a Kyle Higashioka.
Fisted. Blooper to the infield.
No offense to Kyle, but your nine hitting backup catcher is not the ideal person to be coming up in that situation.
No pinch hit there.
I was surprised by that.
Okay, so who's on the bench in that situation to pinch hit for Kyle Higashioka? You've got Luis Camposano.
You sent Brett Sullivan down the day before, so you didn't have an emergency catcher. So once you go to your backup, if someone gets hurt or anything and you're going extra innings.
It's eighth inning. I'm going to take my chance. Because you need, in that situation, after a leadoff triple, by the way, let's be honest, nobody was expecting that. So you've been given the gift of Matt Batten slicing one down the line, legging one out for a triple. And all you need is a lazy fly ball. I like Kyle Higashioka a lot. And I thought he did. Obviously, he deserves a lot of credit for Michael King yesterday.
Sure.
He did a fantastic job behind the dish. I wouldn't be surprised to see them work together more. They work together in New York. They're working together here. Fine. It's what a bench is for, though. That right there is what your bench is for.
I didn't hear Mike Schilt asked about that after the game. Like, sometimes guys are down for the day and you're not changing anyone's mind about it. I don't know if that was the case or not.
It's the same thing that happened in L.A. Game left to Tyler Wade when you still had Campy and Xander on the bench. So I want to ask him tomorrow, like, I'm inferring that you, when you say a day off, you mean a day off. And is that like an organizational philosophy that you brought over? Because I'm trying to win that ball game.
There's also the argument that it's not easy to pinch hit and come off the bench. Higashioka's already into the game. He's been up before. Are you better off pinch hitting in that situation? Campy hasn't exactly been hot. He had a couple of hits the other day, but had been in a 3-for-27 slump before that.
Sure, but who's...
And Higashioka, didn't he have...
He had a
hit in his previous at-bat. Looked good. Hit a nice line drive double.
You know, and it's the psychology of baseball, too, that maybe we don't fully get. I wanted to give Higgy a shot there early in the season. I want to give him a shot. Would he pinch hit for him the next time? My answer is probably yeah. I'm down to give guys a shot to come through there. You know, I am. Like, he's a part of the team. He's done a great job. He did get a knock. Fine.
And one of the knocks last year was Bob Melvin never could get a lot of his other guys involved, and it didn't feel like a team.
He and Bob would say all the time, like, well, no, I mean, I wanted to get so-and-so a day, but we just can't the way we're playing right now, and he never could, and then you can't get anybody going. Okay, that's fine. You know, in that situation, though, Benny, who do you trust to hit one to the outfield more? Kyle Higashioka or Luis Camposano? Probably Campy.
Or you go with a lefty.
Who would have been available there? That would have been... Did Wade start?
Wade did start.
He did start. You don't... Do you have a lefty off the bench?
No, you got Eggy. And you've got Campy.
Campy.
And who else am I missing? Sugar?
Cronenworth's out.
Crony's out.
If Crony was available to swing, maybe you go there, but maybe he's not. Wanted to give him that day off. That definitely limits your bench when you've got a guy who's hurt but not on the IL and not replaced.
No, Satan Blowfish says, did Bomel really have issues pinch hitting? No. What he had issues with was not running out the same guys every day. Like, remember, because he would tell us all the time, I wanted to give Tatis a day off. I wanted to get Manny off his feet. I can't. I can't. We're not playing good. So I need to, those guys need to be in the lineup, and the game got away from us, and blah, blah, blah.
Like, I remember in like late April last year, he's like, yeah, we'd love to give Soto a day off.
Yes, they were grinding
through.
How many
did Soto play last year?
162.
Yeah. Now, and remember, the game is tied. You can't, you're not sure that it's going to be over. You may end up going and playing extra innings and need more of a bench that's already a little short. I think there's a lot of ways to look at the Higashioka at bat, but he pops up into the infield, doesn't get the runner home. Next at bat is Xander Bogaerts. And this is the one that I think fans focused in on the most for good reason. Xander jumps ahead in the count 2-0
the dream,
in
baby.
A hitter's count. And with the Padres' philosophy early in the season, being aggressive, looking for your pitch, you've got to be looking for a fastball somewhere, you know, around the middle of the plate on that pitch. And he got exactly that.
And if he throws you a slider that you miss, okay, 2-0, trying to get that ball to the outfield, or at least, you know, a ground ball to the right, so anything. I mean, I think they were in, but like even better, just put the contact play in. Like, make sure you get barrel on ball there. The last thing you can do in that situation with one out is K.
So he doesn't swing at that pitch. Now, in what was kind of a forgotten moment, he then hit a little chopper to third that would have scored the run.
Yep.
But went foul by a foot or two.
Yep.
And then he struck out on the 2-2 pitch. That was a good pitch.
Great
slide
pitch.
Around in the inside corner. It was a tough pitch to hit. Would have given any right-handed hitter trouble. But he had opportunities before that pitch to do some damage and get that runner in from third base. Mm. And then Tatis, as Mike Schilt mentioned, he hits a little chopper to third, and I thought for sure, he's going to beat this out. And
me too.
It was a really nice play that was made barehanded
by Terang. Great play.
To get Tatis out of first base and get them out of that. And the Padres don't score. Obviously, the Brewers do in the bottom of the eighth inning, and that was the game right there yesterday. But what about the bullpen usage for Mike Schilt? Any problem, as long as we're going through the decision-making? Did he take Michael King out at the appropriate time? Should he have gone to his bullpen earlier? Should he have stuck with Michael King for one more batter? He was already at, 109 pitches after he struck out Jackson Churio for the second out there in the bottom of the eighth inning.
The only thing I thought of was, and I saw the point made on Twitter as well, is that's a guy that you're really needing a big innings jump. He needs to jump up in innings this year. Like, he wants to go from 90 to, like the Seth Lugo last, he wants to go to 180 innings, right? I don't know if that's possible, but that's his goal, and great. So,
well, we kind of need that too, by the way.
Innings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need length out of our four.
We do. And I thought to
myself. You had a day off the next day, though. You didn't necessarily need it yesterday.
Correct. You could have gone more high leverage. The second guessing of the bullpen when you lose 1-0, I mean, give me a break. Like, I'm not.
It's hard to argue with the Wandy Peralta usage.
Correct.
There.
You need a ground ball. You got a ground ball.
You needed an out. And opposing right-handers were 0-22 against Wandy Peralta this season.
No, I have no. I just was like, man, we're going to run this guy out there for 109 pitches. I was surprised, and I think
now he was never. He barely pitched out of the stretch.
Barely.
Was in a good rhythm the whole
100%.
Time. You know, sometimes 109 pitches only feels like 70 or 80 when you're really just cooking and cruising. Now, I did have a no-hitter. That probably adds a little stress to some of those pitches as well, but you can make the argument. And I am curious whether, if he had still had the no-hitter, how long would Mike Schilt have let him go?
Here's a little bit of Mike Schilt's post-game yesterday.
Gosh, man, he was throwing the ball good, you know, and but he's starting to get to that point. And, you know, got the strikeout in Churio. And, you know, clearly a decision we made. Wandy hadn't given up base hit to a right-handed hitter all year. And didn't work out.
Didn't work out. Got to that point.
Yeah. It was a tough one to stomach. It was. And they've been playing so well. You know, I'm hesitant to be so hard on them. But, again, you feel like an opportunity slipped through your fingers. And you weren't asking for a massive comeback. You weren't asking for, you know, something spectacular, right? You're talking about a guy that's your leadoff hitter that makes a lot of dough, and he's staring at 2-0 down the middle when you need a lazy fly ball. I know it's easier said than done, but that's why.
You feel like if you score in the seventh, top of the seventh,
then
they score, we win 1-0.
I think we win 1-0. And I think maybe then, Ben, if you do get that run across and get the lead, I think then you're maybe a little bit, you see Schilt be a little more aggressive with the day off today and give somebody a clean inning and go after it then. And but yeah, it just wasn't to be yesterday, and it sucks, man. It really, really sucks. You feel like that was we're hearkening back to, and I hate to keep bringing up last year, and I don't want to do it anymore. But you know, when you can't get those runs in, they're so precious, and just they're not. You're not asking the world of your guys to go out and score one run there with a leadoff triple.
Not as bad as last year, obviously. They've had many more good moments already. But still, just 3-3 in those one-run games. There's been certain games, a couple in San Francisco, that you lost 3-2 that you felt like absolutely were there for the taking. A couple instances where you didn't come through. And you're not going to always come through with runners in scoring position. It's not going to happen every single day. Every baseball team has days like this one yesterday. Just stings a little bit more when you're playing well and you had a chance to
sweep.
You know, and win four games in a row, which was something that was a bugaboo last year and hopefully doesn't ever get to that point this year. I heard Chris say in the afternoon, I predict they will get a four-game winning streak next week when they go take on the Colorado Rockies. Now, Coors Field is a house of horrors. The Rockies are very bad.
He's a little more brave than I am, man. Holy cow.
Now, you know, Chris has actually been a longtime Rockies fan, so when he says they're bad, I trust him that he knows that they are really, really bad.
It does not matter, though, in that.
Feel like one game's going to be kind of crazy and weird.
If you go into that series as a Padres fan any bit confident, I have to have you looked at psychologically. They're the games I'm most nervous about so far, and that includes the games in LA. I'll be watching those Rockies games more intently because you need a sweep. Like, you have to sweep that team, but that place is such a hellhole, and it has been for our team in particular over the last many, many years.
One thing that the Padres are doing worse this year than last year, and it goes along with something they're doing better. They are striking out way less, which means they are hitting into double plays way more.
Yep.
And they actually hit into 10 double plays on the 6-game road trip. And again, it was a good road trip.
Yeah.
4-2. You win two series against two playoff contending first place teams. It's a really good road trip. That is a lot of double plays to hit into. A couple more yesterday. They had 4 in that game. They beat the Dodgers on Sunday in one game alone. 10 double plays, because you can't hit into more than one double play an inning, is a significant amount in a 6-game stretch. And the Padres have been doing that more this season. And that happens when you have runners on base and you make more contact. You are also going to hit into more double plays. And we have seen that quite a bit. Now, is it something to be alarmed about? Is this something to make adjustments on? I don't really know. You know, do you want to swing harder and strike out more so you don't hit into double plays? Not necessarily. You know, good things happen when you make contact, but sometimes bad things happen when you make contact. And yesterday, the Padres just didn't have a lot of good things happen when they did make a lot of contact. Just usually ended up in the glove of Willie Adames or Bryce Terang.
Those two guys were Willie Adames had like 17 chances. I was like, good Lord, that's the dream for a shortstop. What a day for him.
Yeah, and it's hard to be so mad when you're making a lot of contact. The difference between a line drive single and a hard grounder to short, it's like a micro fraction of a like a millimeter or two of where that bat is. And you go, oh, this team's terrible. They should have swung 1 millimeter lower on some of those. Yeah, it's frustrating. And now they've got a pitching injury to worry about. We'll talk about Yu Darvish when we come back next year with Ben Woods.
The standing O
on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.